Last week we started with, we talked about how can we live in His presence more. It's kind of in reverse, but how can we live in His presence more? How can we fulfill God's purpose for our own lives, for the whole earth? I'm driving down the highway and I see a billboard about the Marines and it says something like, preparing them to live for something greater than themselves. When we're focused on ourselves, that's called selfishness. And nobody's happy. Even when you give kids what they want, it's like it doesn't make them happy. It doesn't make them content. And there's a whole purpose that God created us, and God has a purpose for our lives. And we like living in His presence. We like it when we're loved. We like it when we're believed in. We like it when we have peace with God, when we have contentment, fulfillment, joy. We love all of that. The presence of God. Everybody on the planet is looking for the presence of God, but they don't realize it's God. And so they're trying anything but God, and they don't find it. And you might get happy, you could get high doing drugs, but it's not like getting high on Jesus. You could find something, you know, go take a thrill ride on a amusement park, you know, and roller coaster and all that, and it seems all fun, but you just spent a whole lot of money for a little bit of time, and when you're done, it's like you have nothing for it, and it did not fulfill you. But see, God gives us a free will. He allows us to leave home, to leave His home. He allows us to go and do things. But then when we do, we find the emptiness of those things. I don't care about jumping through hoops. I don't care about having a service. I don't care about entertaining people. What I care about is God working in somebody's life, rescuing the perishing, caring for the dying. That's what I care about, what He is about. I want to be on the cutting edge of what He's up to, like right here where I feel His breath, you know? It's like, what are you doing, Father? Is that what you want? Yeah? That's what we're talking about. How can we live in His presence more? If it's living for me, that's pretty limited scope. But if we're living for Jesus, remember that song? He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got you and me, brother. In His hands, He's got you and me, sister. In His hands, He's got you, me, whoever. In His hands, He's got the whole world in His hands. See, Jesus is about others. That sign. It's not about me. It is about Jesus. And He's all about others. How can we live in God's presence more? Do you have an idea? Every one of you has an idea. You're not brainless little clots. How can we live in God's presence more? How can we live in the presence of God more? Okay, think about that. Reading His Word. Meditating on it. Understanding it. That is so awesome. Did you hear what he said? Including and acknowledging God in every single thing you do. I wonder if it works in Georgia. Do we have a testimony about Georgia? How do we live in the presence of God more? Do you know what Psalm 16:11 says? In thy presence is fullness of joy. How do you beat that? You ever meet anybody who says, man, I can't wait to die so I can go to hell? But people say, I can't wait to go to heaven. Why do they want to go to heaven? Because God's there. No more pain. No more sickness. No more arguing. No more hate. No more anger. No more crying. God, love, just love. How could we live in His presence more? Would reading the Word help us? I mean, really? Like, a little bit? Or maybe more than that? Because it changes our thinking, doesn't it? And as we read it, it's like, and we're meditating on it, and then you start memorizing it, and then you start praying it, and you start musing or thinking on it. It's like it gets richer and fuller and deeper and more fulfilling, and it's like it covers every area of our life. And then what our brother said back here, acknowledging God in every area of our life, including Him in every area. I like to call it practicing His presence. Practicing His presence. I had this whole sermon with verses and points and subpoints, and if something happened today and your life was never the same for the better, in other words, your life got better from this day forward, like at the end of life when you look at the calendar of your life, this was a red letter day on the calendar and your life was never the same after today, like you could draw a line and like, would you want that? I mean, I'm just wanting to know. One of you wants that? Two of you? Three? Four? How many of you want that? I'm just wondering. Because that's who's going to receive. Are you ready? Sue and I are laying in bed, I don't know, a week ago, whatever it was. And I don't even know how it happened. But man, God just, the glory of God just, I did what He said. I just started acknowledging, thinking about God. So let me give you a few thoughts to think about. If you got something, write them down. Some of these are going to help you. Do you remember when you met Jesus? Do you remember when you met Jesus? I'm only truly at home in His presence, somebody wrote me. Everything and anyone else is second place. It's like I was telling Sue this morning. I never feel closer to God than I do when I'm teaching, studying, and meditating. No walls between me and God. It's like, I can't describe it. No words. I said, sounds like a testimony needs to be given. I agree! Exclamation point. I was so hyper this morning, I wanted to jump up and down. I kept giggling and saying, woohoo, I love to talk, exclamation point. Doing it for God is so much better. Well, that's why He gave us mouths, otherwise we would bust. Sometimes I feel like I need to, LOL. And then God had me say this. Just hang out with Him. Focus on being with Him. Focus on who and what He is. That's what happened the other night when we were laying in bed. It was like, I just went back to when I met him, because for me it was like yesterday. Even though it was 38 years ago, I can remember when I met him, and the reality of his presence became so real, and I'm like, why didn't somebody introduce me to him before? Why did I have to go through jumping all those religious hoops that didn't do a bit of good for me? I was still on my way to hell. But then I met Jesus. So focus on who and what he is. I'm telling you, you need to write this down. I'm telling you, this is a recipe. Ask him to show you what he wants you to see. Things that you don't see. Thank him for everything that comes to your mind and heart. Ask yourself this question. Where would I be without Jesus? What do I deserve? Where, and then ask him, first he's going to mess with you on you. And then you want to go beyond that, so we're not just about us. Where are others without him? Ask him to give you his heart for others. Help me to see others through your eyes. Give me your heart for other people. One day Maria was in here and asked if we had testimony. Maria got up. She just like this light bulb, you know, and she comes up here. She just like all glowing and talking about how she doesn't even know how. She just let God talk through her, and she doesn't even know how it happened. And all this God stuff's just flowing out. Look at her. She's beaming over there as I'm talking right now. You know, just reminding her about it. That's what I'm saying, is that's where he wants us to live. It's in his presence. In his presence. This guy tells me he drives truck, 18-wheeler. He's driving down the road, and he said, you know, after I came here and y'all prayed for my daughter and stuff, he says, it's like y'all have helped me to pray. And he says, I just drive down the road just talking to God all the time. And he's not a big talker. But he's all by himself. And I've done that 18-wheeler thing. And you're all by yourself. And you never felt so lonely, I can tell you. Even when you get around people out there, it's like you don't want to be around them. It's different. It's a whole different world. I'm telling you, and you're alone. And as much as he can, he's practicing the presence of God and the light he has right now. He's walking in that. And he keeps lifting up to God. Here's my need. Here's my daughter. Here's my other daughter. Here's my other daughter. Here's our finances. Here's a need for a home. Here's a need for you to work in my life. He just keeps lifting these things up. And it's brought him closer. I know it has. Without him telling me, I know. It's brought him closer to God than he has ever been before. But he knows there's more. But it's like walking in the light you have. That's why I ask you, what do we need to do to live in his presence more? Because, and the reason I said, I know every one of you has thoughts, because you need to share your thoughts. Because you know what? Those thoughts of what you already know, if you do those thoughts, he'll give you more thoughts. But if you know those thoughts, and you just, like an encyclopedia, you just got, we just go through and have files of thoughts, but we don't do anything with them. That doesn't do us any good, does it? How could we live in his presence more? Yes, sir? Talk to him. guy, I'm laying in bed with my wife, right? And my wife, somehow we get talking, and it's just, I start remembering when I met Jesus. And I'm remembering, I'm living it all over again. It's not like it was the first time either, you know, but I'm living this all over again. And all of a sudden, I'm like thinking, and I want to ask you this question. Is God real? Is God real? Where is he? Do you know where he is? When you're in your car, where is he? Where is he? Right beside me? Yeah, he's right beside me, but where's he in your car? Oh, right beside you. Oh, God, I want it. That's where I was trying to help you get, see? Do you know what Sue used to do when God was teaching us this? To help her realize the presence of God more? I want to realize the presence of God more. Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor, can you help me? Be glad to. Glad you asked. You ready? Sue, in the morning when she drinks her coffee, she would get out another coffee cup, put it right next to her in the chair, and have coffee with Jesus. And she would talk to Jesus. Instead of just praying with her eyes closed, she would practice his presence. Because doesn't it say in Hebrews 13:5, Jesus will never leave me? Doesn't it say that? He will never leave you nor forsake you? Is that true, or it only applies to me? True for you? How about Luke 15:31? My son, thou art ever with me. And he says, all that I have is yours. You see, it's not just reading the word, it's believing what you read. And then acting on it. That's faith. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not doing, he's not looking for you to just do stuff for him. It's moving on what he puts on your heart. We go to pray, a right now situation, a little girl, they just put on life support, just born a week ago, could be going out into eternity in seconds. And my wife, who is not a goer like me, my daughter, who's already got a whole bunch of people depending on her, and another little one she's about to bring into this world in about 3 weeks. They're moved on. We got to go. We just feel like, yes, we could pray for her here, but we feel like God wants us to go. You know why? Do you know why? Because we are the church. And the church is the body of Christ. And you can tell somebody, Jesus loves you. But when you go over and say, Father, let these be your arms. These are the arms of Jesus. When God told me to pull over to that man that I was praying for that was sitting in the gutter downtown Grand Rapids, sitting in the, you know, the homeless guy, and I said, God, I prayed, but I feel like there's something else. Is there something else you want to say or something? And he said, Harv, would you loan me your body? I'm like, sure, what do you want to do? He says, I want to hug that guy. I'm like, okay. So I pull my truck over. And I get out, and I walk over to the guy and said, Father said he wants to hug you. The dude looked at me like I escaped from somewhere, you know? He goes, what? And I said, Father, what do I say? You know, it's like I thought that's what you told me to say, you know. He said, just say, ask him, do you want a hug? I said, do you want a hug? And the guy didn't know me. But everybody on the planet needs to be touched. Who's touching the homeless? I said, do you want a hug? And he goes, yeah. He didn't know me. You know how desperate he had to be to receive a hug from a stranger? Desperate. He wasn't just hungry for a hug. He was desperate that he'd even take it from a stranger because nobody else was touching him. Touching him. Nobody touching him. And I go to hug him, and the Father said, tell him, these are the arms of the Father. And he just laid his head on my shoulder. We just stood there, downtown Grand Rapids, for several minutes. And the love of God just flowing. When I went to Africa last year, same thing. I'm preaching at a church multiple times, and one service, they introduced me, the pastor did, and I got up. I was sitting over here, and the congregation's over there, and all these ministers, whatever. And I get up, and I walk up, and God says, give him a hug. So I go to give him a hug, and he says, let these be the arms of the Father. And when I said that, this pastor just started just bawling, just uncontrollably broken, just convulsing, laying his head on me. And we just stood there for, I have no idea, 10, 15 minutes. I kept saying, Lord, you want me to do it? He said, nope, just stand there. Don't say nothing, just. I'm doing it. He said, all you got to do is loan me your body. When the meeting was over, I got a call, and he said, Pastor, could I come meet with you? And I said, bring another pastor with you, or bring another, you know, somebody, a witness. And they came to my motel room, and he told me how that when he was a newborn baby, his mother, who was a Christian, and I don't know if his dad, didn't sound like his dad was, but his dad's family didn't think that he should, you know, that for some reason, I don't know what the problem was, but he went to visit his family. And when he came back, his mom said when he came back, he was all different. The dad was. Now, he's a newborn baby, and he was a twin. There was two of them. And his mom, the dad went to work, and the mom put the babies down for a nap, and she went next door where they were having church, because they do that over there. They don't necessarily have babysitters, whatever, they do that. The dad snuck back in the house, locked the door, and had lethal injections in hypodermics, shot one into the brother and killed him. Shot one into him, but didn't kill him. The babies were screaming. Somebody heard, went and told the mom. The mom told the pastor. The whole church stopped what they were doing, like what we just did, and went over there, could not get in. Finally, by the time, and the guy jumped out the bedroom window and left. The one baby, by the time they got in, was dead from the lethal injection. This pastor that I'm talking to, when he was a little baby, was laying there, and they prayed for him. He didn't die. He never knew his dad. He grew up without a dad. And anyway, a whole lot more to the story. But he starts telling me this whole story. And he said, when you hugged me, he said, I was in the arms of Father God. And he said, I have never known a father before. And he said, do you remember when Pastor Bill was walking down, what was that, Lowell, M21, and Minister Mike was with him. And he's carrying a cross, and Minister Mike is carrying an American flag. And I go by him and honk horn and wave at him. And the Holy Spirit says, turn around and go back. I don't know what he wants. I just turned around and went back. And when I got out, I walked across. And as soon as I walked across, God poked a hole in my balloon. I start preaching to him. And while I'm preaching, God says, hug Minister Mike. He's a little black guy. And I put my arms around him, and he just wept and bawled. And then later he told me he never had a dad. Now what I'm saying is, we're his body. We just heard about this little girl. We don't need to do a token little prayer.
Bless her in the name of Jesus, oh God. Weep, weep, weep.
No, we need to stop what we're doing. And God, what are you doing? What do you want to do? Do you understand? God, does God live in you? Seems like I'm going to have to wait for some answers here. 3 of you so far. I'm really glad. I'm going to help the rest of you. I can get you to Jesus. Don't worry. You just sit still for a little bit. I'm going to get you to Jesus. All right? Does God live in you? How do we live in his presence more? You want more of him? When he moves on you, when you get a thought, touch somebody. I'm talking about appropriately right. You know what I'm talking about. When you get a thought, give to somebody, pray for somebody, give somebody $20 or $100 or whatever God tells you to do. When you get a thought like that, you ask yourself, where'd this thought come from? I remember when he was teaching me how to witness, and I said, well, Lord, how do I know if it's you? He said, ask yourself, would the devil tell you to go witness to somebody? I go, no. He said, then you know it's me, don't you? He said, would the devil tell you to give somebody, stop and hug a guy on the street? No. Would the devil tell you to, you know, buy somebody some lunch or get them a suit or give them $100? Or would the devil tell you to do that? No. Well, then who do you think's telling you? See, God had to break it down for me, put the cookies on the bottom shelf so I could get a hold of it. Little Harvey, got it. I got it. I want to live in his presence. Don't you?
I know it.
I was so pleased with you. Just standing up there telling that. Your mom and dad, they already cried a whole bunch before they got here, you know, over you. Tears of joy. They had the other tears too, but the tears of joy. We can't force people. We got to love them to Jesus. And loving them sometimes means you got to let them go. You got to go through hard stuff. But we just keep praying for them. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Keep loving them. And if you don't feel like it, and you're kind of glad they're gone, then ask God to deal with your heart. Because you know that ain't him, right? You know that ain't him, right? Right. Good. We know that ain't him. We don't want to live like that. We want to live in his presence. How else can we live in his presence? I like it. Talk to him. Just talk to him. I like it. Now, I know you and Maria have never done this, but can you imagine what it would be like if she got mad at you? And she wouldn't even talk to you for days at a time. Can you imagine? You can't. I know you can't imagine. You know, so sweet. You know. Can you imagine what it would be like for her to give you the cold, silent treatment? It'd be terrible, wouldn't it? What if we did that with God? I wonder if that's how he looks at it, because we don't talk to him. Except when we have a flat tire in our life, you know, then we treat him like spare tire God. Oh, I need you now. And you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't say, yeah, right. The only time you're just using me. He doesn't say that. He says, okay. And yet we use him. We hurt him. We take him for granted. And he just keeps on loving us 100%. We keep putting other things in front of him. Our way, our wants, our thoughts, our excuses. And he just keeps on loving us. You want to be like him? It's what I want. So how else could we get closer to him? How could we experience his presence more? Okay, your little brains are working. Open your little mouths. What are they? What's your thought? We could listen to him by reading his word, meditating on it, thinking on it. I'm sorry. I just love this word. I just love this word. I hated my life before. When I came to Jesus and that preacher got me, he just kept talking about, open your Bible, open your Bible, open your Bible. I finally got it. I was supposed to open my Bible. And when I started to open my Bible, dude, it's like, I love his thoughts. So I started replacing my thoughts with his thoughts. And it's like, I love his thoughts. And his way always works. And it's peaceful and it's gentle and it's so cool. Yes. Did you hear what she said? Did you hear what she said? Anybody not hear? When we read his word, our focus changes from ourself to him. And then he's all about others. And that's when you find contentment and fulfillment and enrichment in your life. Because when all focused on you, that's what our little sister was saying. When it was focused on me, she says, it didn't work. It made me more miserable. And she says, I don't want that anymore. But we have to come to that place of making that choice. His word. I love it. I love it. How else can we live in his presence more? Get other people to him. How do we do that? Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm looking forward to getting this because Brother Nate and I were talking about this. I'm like, I can see things that people need. I want to get them to Jesus, but how do we get them to him more?
Well, they say thank you. I say don't
thank
you.
He shocked me when he said that.
When we were on public and the girl was just looking at me. Mom,
you know what? Little by little. Don't expect that your life's just going to jump from point A to point Z overnight. It's going to kind of like be like this. One page, we deal with that. And then another page. You see how thin these pages are? That's about how big the step is. And it's okay, because we're little baby Christians. We just take little baby steps. That's awesome, brother. That's it. We're a work in progress. We used to have these little sticker, these little buttons we wore, and it was just letters. It was like PBP, GN, no, GIN, F, Y, something like that. And the first time I saw it, I'm like, what is that? And it said, please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. And I'm like, I get it. You're a work in progress. And they go, yep. I said, so am I. How do we live in its presence more? Talk to him. Say what? Walk with him. Whoa. Walk with him. Is there a difference between walking with him and trying to get him to walk with us? Is there a difference? Anybody can explain that difference? What's the difference? We don't want him doing what we do. We don't want him acting like we do, do we? He's like, oh, please don't. I don't want to act like that. He's like, I love you, but I don't want to be like that. You know, it'd be a neat prayer to pray every day. I believe it's in Luke 22:42. Jesus said it. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not what I want. What do you want, Father? Let that be done. I want what you want. And if I don't, then change my want to. Sometimes we don't want what he wants. Can we get honest? Sometimes we don't want what he wants. But God, I want to want what you want. Will you change my want to? Did you hear anything today? Maybe you didn't. Maybe it wasn't new to you, but did you hear something today that if it was in your life, could change your life? So how do we get it in our life? Obedience. God, please make that alive in me. How about that? Think about one of the things that was said here today. Walk with him, talk with him, let him talk to you, get others to him. I don't remember what everybody said. Practice his presence. I don't remember how you said it. Something like that, right? But it was something like practice his presence. That's what it came down to. Include him in everything. God, I want that inside of me. So, let's say it. God, I want that inside of me. I'm inviting you, Jesus, to come do it in me. Whatever it takes. I heard a saying a long time ago. I don't have chapter and verse for it because it's not in the Bible. Though it's probably based on something in the Bible. And it says something to the effect of, don't judge another until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. It was an old Indian saying. Now, I don't know if you've ever wore moccasins or seen them, but they're real thin. And when you step with them, you feel every step. It's not like these kind of shoes, you know, that you create a step. But you feel what's there. When you go through, when you want to judge other people, when you see everybody is at a different place. But John's just talking about him getting pounded on. This is a grown man getting pounded on. That means beat up. That means hurt. Physically. I'm sure emotionally and mentally. But physically, we can't even conceive of that, some of us. It's been so long out of our life. But here's a man that comes here and finds Jesus and starts getting loved on. And it takes him a long time to receive that because he's wondering, What's he got to do to make it quit happening? For us to quit letting Jesus flow. And when he finds out Jesus is real, then he starts practicing Jesus. And his life changes from where he's at. Everybody in here is in a different place. You have different situations, different people, different hurts, different pains, different trials in your life. The things that we try to teach are how to get you to Jesus, because Jesus will carry you through any and every situation, whether it's death or life or sickness or trials, whatever it is. He doesn't give up on us. When we give up on ourselves, or when others give up on us, Jesus doesn't give up on us. He doesn't have a quitting place. This week, when Sue and I were talking at one point, and I was seeing areas that I need to change, or that where there's not enough Jesus getting through me in areas. And I started feeling like I failed, and I must not be a good pastor or a good trainer of people. You hear that? And yeah, but see, I need to be reminded too, just like anybody else. Because the devil attacks me just like he does you with these thoughts. And what Sue, she said one thing. I don't know how she said it, but what it made me think of was you. The people here at Burning Bush. And she basically said, look at their lives. And it's like, I didn't need any more. Because I see Jesus in you. I remember where you were when we met you. And I see where you are. It's okay, Glenn. We were all train wrecks. Just a lot of us didn't realize we were walking dead. You know?
That was me.
I know. It's amazing. And I looked at your lives, and I was so encouraged because of, just like that, you don't get to fail. He owns that. He owns that. It's like he's bought into that truth. My point is, you bought into it. My point is that you got that truth. It's alive in you. You got it. And I see the truth in you. I see a little girl up here saying, God's so kind to give me a free will, and my parents too, but I don't want it anymore. I want God's will. I see people being moved at somebody else's need. And my wife says to Mercada, do you want to just stay here and pray for her, or do you want to go? And she goes, well, I could, but I feel like I need to go. Because that's God. G-O-D. You know? Starts with G-O. And that's what happens. We got to move. Let him move. Yes.
Actually, he asked to go.
That's what I'm saying. Right. She said it.
Can I go?
Right. She said, yeah. She goes,
Like Isaiah, was it Isaiah who said, send me?
Yeah. Isaiah 6. Hear my Lord. Send me. I know, I didn't read the whole paragraph. I the whole dialogue there, but yes, you're exactly right. What I'm saying is that was what God wanted. Paul talks about it. I can look up the verse if I need to. You are my crown and my rejoicing. you are my crown and my rejoicing. Your life is the crown on my life. Do you understand? You are the rejoicing of my heart. You keep me going. Because when the devil wants to discourage me, all I got to do is remember you. And it changes me. And you look at it and you go, man, but I messed up. I this and I that. And I'm like, I see all that. But it's like, dude, I see Jesus in you. And I see where he wants to take you. And I see where you've come. And it's like, as Pastor Glenn and I say sometimes, I'm ready to go. That's it. If I'm already ready to go. I've already seen the glory of God in somebody's life. I'm ready to go home. They want to kill me now, that's fine. Because I've already experienced the glory of God in you. A guy came to me one time that worked in Amway. It used to be in our church, some friends of ours. He said, I'm having a hard time. You know, I keep working, spending all these hours. I said, the only way you can lose is to quit. There's probably not anybody in this room who's ever come here for any amount of time who hadn't thought about leaving. And if you need to leave, that's okay. We'll pray for you. You let us know so we can pray for you and send you out with God's blessing, protection, provision. Seriously. Okay? But make sure it's God sending you out, not the devil taking you out. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know that saying, no pain, no gain? Well, we got to go through some stuff to get where God wants us to be like Jesus, because we don't just want to be little plastic North American Christians, do we? No. We want to be Christians like Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we just praise you. We thank you for this awesome day, Lord. And again, Lord, we just want to go back to the hospital right now, Lord, and be with Sue. Be with all of them that went to the hospital, Lord. Give them safe travels back home, Lord, in this weather. Also, all of us, Lord, in this weather, Lord, that we have safe travels, Lord. We just praise you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, that you're drawing us to you and that we can get away from this world little by little and get closer to you, Lord. Just let go and let you be God in our lives. You are so awesome, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you'll be with each and every one of us this week as we go to our jobs, home, taking care of the things that we take care of every day. That we keep our eyes and our heart and our mind focused on you. In your word, in prayer, in fasting, in whatever, every situation that we can to keep ourselves focused on you. Loving you and loving each other, becoming oneness in this body, in this ministry, for this is your ministry, Lord. And we accept for whatever it is that you would have for all of us. Help us to find our place in this ministry so that we're not discomplacent, but that we're right in place where we belong. As your children in your family, we thank you in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.